The footage of Triple M. The weekend is here.
I like it.
And so is Triple M Footy.
And doesn't he love it?
You come here to escape the real world.
This is the Friday Huddle for McDonald's.
Triple M rocks footy.
We're back at the footy tonight, Friday night style. It's the Western Bulldogs up against the Giants at Marvel Stadium. And a nice bit of spice in this game. These two clubs have developed a bit of history over the last couple of years. Unfortunately, Toby Green is not playing, but the Bont's out there and we're not too far away from getting underway here. A lot to get through. Guests, plenty of them. Legend Dougie Hawkins from the Footscray Football Club will join us. We'll speak to the coach of the GWS Giants, Leon Cameron, as well. A lot to get through, and I look around and the team are here ready to go. Das, good evening to you.
Hello, Howard. Never been better prepared. Never been more organised and ready for a Friday night game. And there's a bit at stake at this one. The Bulldogs had a pretty rough start to season 2020. So, bit on the line tonight.
Juddy's here. Hello to you, Judd.
Good to see you.
Damo's here as well.
Howie, lot going on tonight.
Nathan Brown is here with two Nasiga rings, one for each calf muscle. He's looking after himself. But you probably know, Nath, more about Darcy's preparation than anyone here.
Well, I was up getting my Nasi and...
You're two Nasis.
Two Nasis. I'm trying something different, so I was going to have half each and probably turn into two full Nasis. But he's turned up, Duke. And he was white. And then it was white with a little bit of sweat as well. And I said, are you okay, mate? And he goes, I can't get in. I can't get into the ground. And I said, oh, well, you know, we're not going into the ground. We're going to go up to the commentary box. And he then decided to tell me he'd already been to Triple M because he thought we were calling from the studio at Triple M.
A couple of slight logistical issues here. Nothing to get panicked
then
about.
Then he got himself locked in the Channel 7 car park underneath.
That part's hard to deny, I'll be honest with you.
And there he's just turned to me about 10 minutes ago. I said, did you bring your binoculars? I think I might have forgotten
what's
my
happening,
binoculars.
Mate?
When you're running multiple businesses, Howard, and none of them are currently
open.
Open or having any revenue attached to them, your day can get a little bit hectic at times. So I went to Triple M. I thought, I'm here in the boardroom, all set up, ready to go. And I had our fine audio genius, Andrea, said, you should be at Marvel Stadium. And then I went through the normal entrance. And I hadn't registered apparently. Got to register, Jay. Who would have thought that that was a requirement in 2020?
How much feedback did you get this week? Because I got a lot. How much feedback did you get for your call of the replay last week, which went viral in a major way?
Yeah, a lot of people saw the positive in me. They saw that there was a bit of artistic license that I took on that occasion. And I'm comfortable with it. I think I've come out of that feeling pretty good.
When you looked up from the screen, Darcy, and you saw this man here, Nathan Brown, just giggling the way he does when he senses and smells a pylon.
The thing that disturbed me, I had a feeling something was wrong. And then when Ben McAvoy, it was a left-handed spoil in a really weird position. I feel like I've seen that before. And then I saw your stupid head, Brownie, with that much joy attached to it, knowing that that was going to be...
It's the only time Brownie's really happy, isn't it? when someone's making a genuine mistake.
How are you, Judge? No headlines this week?
No, very good though, Howard. Just another week, another opportunity to help. That's my daily motto. And all going well here.
There's a lot to get through tonight. As I said, a couple of good guests. Looking forward to chatting with Dougie Hawkins about Damo. Big news, what I would say, in the Melbourne media landscape, breaking out of Channel 9 at this very moment.
Yeah, it is, Howie. It's just only a matter of moments ago when Sam Newman tweeted this. And this is the exact quote from Sam Newman on his Twitter account. Let's see how this gets reported. Can't wait. The Nine Network and I have mutually decided that, in the station's best interests, I withdraw from appearing on their programs forthwith. And for me, the last 35-odd years have been fantastic, really, at Channel 9. Channel 9 will be putting out a statement, I believe, too, in a matter of moments from now, but that does end a 35-year association between Sam Newman and Channel 9. And obviously, the reason he's made that statement now, as of a fortnight ago, he resumed being on air on the Sunday Footy Show with a series of interviews that he was doing. And
the first one was very good.
It was very good, wasn't it, with Kevin Bartlett?
Yep.
Revealing that he once considered going to the Collingwood Footy Club, but... Yeah, he's made that decision this afternoon.
Damo, it's a big story in that. Well, it's a big story in Victoria. It's, you know, Sam in Melbourne was like,
Bill and Tony and Richie on the cricket. He was football at Channel 9. So we'll follow that up throughout the show. But, you know, you've worked a lot with him over the years. He's a part of the fabric of that whole organisation.
Yeah. Look, I haven't spoken to him. I bumped into him during the week. I didn't get any inkling that he was going to be doing this. And obviously on his own podcast that he does with Don Scott and Mike Sherney, he did make some comments which were widely reported in the past 48 hours about the George Floyd situation, the American who was killed by policemen in Minneapolis, and obviously other comments around the Black Lives Matter situation. But I had no inkling of this happening until it dropped only moments ago.
Yeah, it's a big story in the Melbourne media landscape. We'll keep an eye on that throughout the evening. We might get someone to have a chat with about that. Hey, the Hawks last night. As my young bloke said in the paper, Dad, only the guy with the skull and crossbones picked them, which is the kiss of death. Very happy Hawk in my household. 32-point win last night. Juddy, are we going to see these upsets through the season due to all the vagaries, or was it just one out of the box last night?
Oh, hard to tell. And to be honest, I think two matches in since we came back, you're still working out where each team sits, but certainly last night the Hawks just looked incredibly hungry, Nate Brown, and, you know, from 5 minutes into the game, it was an absolute demolition.
Well, they did, and I didn't think that Dustin Martin, the fact that he didn't play would be such a big thing, but then you look and you've got a lot of young players at Richmond probably having their first run in the midfield, and they were spread a bit thin, and then you throw Amira back in, and Isaac Smith was getting a stack of the footy, and they just couldn't get their hands on it. And they didn't start that well last year, Richmond. They were 1-2, so their best footy is in the back half of the year, as we know. But it is a shortened year. But the thing that wouldn't have pleased Damien Hardwick was the lack of physicality last night. And you never want to outline the sort of things that happened, but there was at least four or five instances where players probably jumped out of the way and allowed Hawthorn to come through, pick up the football, and it was really un-Richmond-like. And I think that's what Damien Hardwick was talking about when he said our performance was un-Richmond-like.
Well said. No, I think we are, Howie. I think we're going to see. I think we're going to see swings and upsets more than we have done before. I think you're dealing with a range of stuff that, you know, players in hubs, players having to fly back, players who are dealing better with isolation than others. Not being able to get access to the normal coaches they were. There's so many more variables in this year that you can't help but think that it's going to be harder to predict what's going to happen. Oh, you couldn't have seen. No. If you watched the Geelong Hawthorn game, as we did last weekend, there's no way any form line would tell you that Hawthorn were going to come and do it. Now, part of that's the genius of their coach, but part of, I think, is the variables that are out in play at the moment.
Week to week's amazing, isn't it, Duke? Last week, we spoke about McAvoy. The fact that Sava Radaglia ran him around. He probably looked out of position. Segler got touched up in the ruck, where Segler really started well last night. McAvoy, in the first half alone, took 5 intercept marks, and he was the most dominant backman on the game last night. And Tom Lynch, who kicked one goal, was just blanketed by multiple Hawthorn defenders. But I thought McAvoy, and they stuck with him at centre-half back. And like you said, that is the genius of Clarkson.
So well done to the Hawks last night. A lot of footy to get through. But Damo, the issue with Mark Ricciuto and the Adelaide Crows. You wrote this week on the AFL.com.au headlined Barrett, why Ricciuto must go after the latest Crow brand damage. Adelaide football director Mark Ricciuto must remove himself from the board of Adelaide. It was a very strong article, Damo, which I need to discuss with you in a moment. But obviously, Roo made some comments this week on radio on Triple M. This is what Mark Ricciuto had to say about players leaving the Adelaide Footy Club.
Charlie Cameron was one that we didn't want to lose. He got a very, very good contract from Brisbane.
So you couldn't match that?
No. Jake Lever got a 5-year deal on $800,000 to $850,000.
Mm.
Very comfortable that we let him go on that money. He's probably a $500,000 player. Mitch McGovern, comfortable that he go. He's got what we want. We love people that can test in the forward line and got plenty of speed. But once again, $800,000+. Has he delivered for Carlton yet?
No.
No, comfortable that he went. Eddie Betts, we need to get some youth into our side. He's 33. We were comfortable for him to go.
Mm-hmm.
Jenkins, very happy for him to go. Once again, age in our forward line. We needed to get some youth into our forward line. Very comfortable. We've been paying part of his contract.
Right.
Same with Eddie Betts.
Okay.
Hugh Greenwood, that was as much our call.
I would question why you let him go.
Everyone says we've got the slowest midfield in the competition. You can't just keep having those players in your midfield and then whinge that you've got a slow midfield.
Mm.
And he's 28 this year and not going to be playing our next premiership side. Alex Keith got offered a massive amount of money to go, more than double that what he was on Adelaide.
More than double?
Yes, more than double.
So some pretty strong comments. Now, Damo, I just said to you before we went to air, I've got tremendous admiration for you for this article you wrote, because as always, it's very...
Admiration?
I do. Just hang on. What, no, hang does, on. But, hang on. You haven't...
For sacking someone?
Finish. No, no, no. I've got admiration that
you... admire that, dude.
That you would write an article about someone that you are away from football very, very close with. So it's something you obviously thought about. How many thoughts did you have about hitting send on this article? Because you're pretty close with Rue, or you were till you sent this.
A few, but I just feel that a director relinquishes his right to be on that club's board once he goes down the public path that Mark Ricciuto did on the back of also problems at that footy club now for the past three seasons. It's been a terrible time at that football club since 2017. We don't even need to itemise those issues. But the specifics of talking about eight players, as he did there with that interview with on his own show with Chris Dittmar, is as unique a situation in football as I've ever seen. It was condescending with the assessments of the players that have moved out of that football club. And
it was
the,
honest.
It was honest. Absolutely, it's honest. But if you've got
to... Don't we want that, though?
You're always crying out, we've got to get people to speak the truth. We've got to get some sort of insight out of people in position. And when we do, now they've got to go... Got to sack them. Can't have that. No,
it's not sacking, guys. It's a roll on a board. Let's not confuse with what I've said. It's not sacking.
This is the greatest person in the history of that football club. Your demanding's got to go.
Off the board.
That's a sacking.
Off the board. It's not even a paid gig. It's
bigger than that. It's actually contributing your time and giving back to it. And you're not giving the full extent of it. So let's go through a bit of history of that football club, Howie, to give a proper context. Because
No, I will go through it.
Well, let me go back further. I mean, the most tragic event that's ever happened in football happened at that footy club a few years ago. Mm-hmm. And let's not forget that. We had a coach murdered by his own son. You can't speak of anything more tragic. Mark Ricciuto was part of the club that rebuilt that, part of the club that hired Don Pike that got to a grand final in 2017. When they were the best team in the competition, that same club and that same board, yeah, they've made a couple of mistakes. Yeah, they've had to go back and rebuild the club. Now, you see, his club's been under attack. He's an eight-time... He's one of the greatest players in the history of the game. I love the fact he's sitting there going, you know what? I am going to tell you what's actually happened on the inside. I am going to stand up for my club. You know what? And I will wear the heat that comes my way. But the reflex, cliched thing from everyone on the outside, oh, hang on a minute. No, you can't. Everyone else can.
No.
And I demand he goes.
Okay, so when he says that he's doing this to be
you're
honest.
You're not giving all the history, though. And that
where do you want to draw the line on history? Do you want to go back to 1991 when the Crows came into the competition? Because right now they are in their 30th year of AFL life and they are at their lowest ebb. And you can go back to 2015. Absolutely. That was the most horrific development at a footy club through no one's fault.
Clubs go through ebbs and flows.
Yeah. This one's a really bad ebb at the moment. And he's been the football director of it. And does the honesty with which he's attached to that. And I get that side of it. But you can't pick and choose when you want to be honest. He's only being honest on this occasion to try and...
No, because he was responding to what he'd been asked. He was responding to players exiting. He wasn't responding to players... incoming.
How many players have exited that club?
Lots of players.
Four of those eight players that he referenced were actually under contract of the Adelaide Crows doing. They've chosen to leave within contract.
He gave his explanation, which I admire. As a board member, he said,
it didn't make sense. It just didn't make sense to say that Hugh Green was not in the next premiership team when you're just given a five-year contract to a person who's 2 years older than him in Rory Sloane.
I think Hugh Green and Rory Sloane are slightly different different players.
So what does it say, though, to all other 28-year-olds, as Daniel Talia is, as Brodie Smith is? Are they in their next premiership team as well? It just was a mixed message that I've never seen before from a director on the back of 3 years of a torrid environment, of which has been the club's doing.
But do you reckon football's better off, the Adelaide Football Club are better off without Mark Ricciuto there? Do you reckon the time that he gives... And the effort that man puts in. Do you honestly think that club's better?
Well, do you honestly think since 2017 that club has been run properly?
No, they've had mistakes. And you know what they've done? They've actually gone and got a new coach. They've gone and got a new assistant coach. They've gone and recruited new players. They've gone back to the draft and put a list straight. That takes time, don't they? It takes effort. They're going to have some horrific losses this year, and they have made some. Mm. You're allowed to do that in life, don't you? You're allowed to make a few mistakes, but you're also allowed to get respect for your previous history. And that is a person who's had nothing but success in his life. And, okay, you know what, maybe you don't like the context of what he said. Well, bad luck. You know what? How good is it that you get someone
How are you going to get a player agent and a player from the club to now go to that football club? They can't,
of course you will.
The one person
you're not going to get a player go to the Adelaide Crows.
Well, who's gone there, Dust?
One of the most successful.
Who, Who's well, gone there? Bryce Gibbs was the only person they've been able to get, and how's that worked?
Yeah, okay. Yeah,
in terms of player payments, though, Damo, in terms of player payments, everybody knows around about what these players are on. So I don't think Mark Rusciuto's speaking out of school when he says, you know, 8 to 850. I think he's a 500 grand player. I don't think he's doing anything wrong by talking about money, because people want to talk about money. It's in the paper every day, speculated in the Herald Sun, in the Age. So I think we know what players
yeah,
are.
Yeah, I'd agree. There's a ballpark number to each player that is never too far removed.
What was the main thing in your mind he did wrong?
The fact that he made public and the condescending nature in which, do you think Mitch McGovern's played well for Carlton? Very happy, very comfortable to get rid of him.
Hang on. Insiders aren't allowed to give comment on players they know particularly well, but everyone else is. Is that how it works?
Well, how are you going to do? You're now about a month or 6 weeks into your tenure of the Bulldogs. Are you going to be giving? I bet you don't give running commentary
but
on anything
you know what?
To do with your operations.
My club hasn't been under attack. They haven't been copying it from everyone left, right, and centre. And what you saw was a very, very proud, very, very influential person saying, enough of people taking pot shots. I'll tell you on the inside what's happened. And we should admire that. Now, you don't have to agree with it.
I don't agree with it.
But you don't have to agree with what
he
said.
But Roo's big enough. He doesn't need you to support him.
Oh, of course he doesn't. But we're talking about the cliche thing in this game, Howie, every single time is,
yes.
Oh, right. No, we don't agree with you. You need to go. You need to say. I mean, seriously, is the game better off?
Do you reckon I've just done that willy-nilly? Have you actually read the article? You weren't even aware of the article. So what have you actually gone through it and listed the points?
No, I don't tend to read your articles extensively, Dan.
Yeah, well, as you should, mate. You should.
Ask me a question.
You are in a minority too, Das, if you want to take that attitude.
Okay. Yeah.
How about you read the article in the break?
I have read the article.
I don't want you to read it.
Well,
can you bring the duffel coat in?
I don't want you to read it.
It's too long for you.
Let's read the headline. Why Rusciuto must go.
Oh, we'll read the headline.
Crows damage. You're not big enough to put your own headline on your own article, are you, Dan?
Oh, seriously, Das.
Break here on the huddle, but we have got a statement to Triple M Football from Channel 9 regarding Sam. Sam Newman announced today that he would no longer appear on 9. The decision
Damo
was...
Damo be happy.
Hang on, that'll make Damo happy. The decision was made mutually and amicably between 9 and Sam. After 35 years, he will no longer be part of Channel 9. You go and get yourself a cold water.
Be very careful, Howie. They want you sacked too. I'm going to make sure I don't say anything that Damo doesn't like.
The judge hasn't spoken yet. I'm a bit concerned about it.
He hasn't. The box has just calmed down a bit after a bit of a spat between Damo and Das. This is the Triple M Friday Huddle for McDonald's. Triple M rocks footy. Buy any McCafe coffee and you could win free coffee for a year. Visit mcdonalds.com.au/coffee.com for details. Terms apply. I think what we need now...
Positivity. I'll tell you what we need right now.
Positivity.
And that is another intervention. And Juddy's got a line that says, we're here to help. Yep. And I see this...
Juddy here, is he?
I just had to, check his mic.
Don't waste your words,
segment one, just to make sure that... Did he back away from the microphone, the Carlton board member, very quickly?
We're all going good.
Maybe he's been sensitive.
He wasn't... let's just hope no one gets sacked in this segment, Harry. But what we are trying to do is trying to support. We're here to help.
Yeah.
And sometimes, Harry, you just need a little bit of an intervention from your mates, and that's coming your way, right?
In every friendship, there's a moment.
We've got an issue.
Where you need to step in.
You've got a considerable amount of swagger.
We feel like he's got ahead of himself.
And deliver the hard facts.
All rules are off, aren't they?
You can't handle the truth.
On Triple M Footy's Friday Huddle.
Oh my God, this is an intervention.
It's an intervention, Howie. Fair to say...
Pre-production.
Your ego...
Pre-production.
Your ego's that out of control. We actually had to get together and put a bit of work into this.
This will be interesting.
It's out of control, Howard. We all think you've turned into a narcissist and we thought we needed to speak to you about it. And we thought that maybe it started... I mean, you've been a boundary rider for 10 years pre this, so I don't know how you got so far ahead of yourself in life, but you have the 6x6 contract. He was doing cricket, and now he wants to take everyone's footy job as well. But we thought that it might have started to get ahead of yourself when you started going down this sort of line.
Okay, and so we've come to the biggest award in football, the Guru. Now, the Guru in 2017 goes to a man that moved to Geelong, to be with his missus, G-Town. That does not get you the Guru. But this is a man, in just his second game at the footy club, snagged one from the pocket, ran around yelling, Yablet! That get you the guru. So, Paddy, you're a star. Congratulations for getting the biggest award in football, the guru.
That's private audio.
That's an award named after you that you voiceovered.
Present.
That was the start of it.
You third person yourself with your nickname.
That was private audio between me and the boys from the Two Blues, who are a very tight, structured, well-run organisation. I don't think you should be playing that.
Well, that might have been private audio, but this wasn't private audio. This has been broadcast on the Triple M network this particular week over your program, which you run as a sideshow to what you do here at Triple M, the Howie Games.
G'day, Howie here. In my time watching and commentating sport, there are three iconic Australian sporting moments that stand out. Two of the athletes behind these moments have already told their stories on the Howie Games podcast. Cathy Freeman on her Sydney gold medal, John Aloisi on that goal. The third moment is by an athlete who very rarely speaks, and they're my guest for the 100th episode of the Howie Games.
It's all about you, Howie, and you know I love the Howie Games. I absolutely do. I've raised this tonight because I sent you a text message after I heard that ad during the week, thinking that our friendship and our closeness, and we've always got each other's back. I thought I might have got a little heads up exclusively off the record on who that guest is on your 100th show.
Yep.
You condescendingly treated me like you would a member of the public and just said, can't tell you, it's a secret. And
that's
the reason I want to intervene tonight, because you can't even tell a friend off the record who you can trust.
Struggling to look
what you're doing.
The eye, isn't he?
All I want to say is, I know you do your little podcast with Hutchie, and you get out to your 500 listeners, and that's fantastic. Oh. But when you run a global style podcast that is the number one in the country, there's certainly contractual obligations that come in that I couldn't tell you who the guest was.
But as a friend, you know that would have stayed with me. I was actually interested in you and your life as to who this guest is going to be.
Yeah, I'm not sure I do trust you, Damo, but anyway.
For me, Howard. And I'm here to help.
I wish we could go soft then.
This last week is what really concerned me.
I wonder if he'd be the most winningest player percentage-wise to play 300 games in the AFL.
Now, everyone that's only had a partial education knows that you don't use the term winningest unless you're outside of America. It's not English we use in Australia. It's American English, and everyone knows that. And I was speaking to my team today, and we were talking about this, and it also came to my attention that we are now going to the States. We're being broadcast in the States, Triple M. You're making a play for US money. That's what this is about. Not only are you robbing Foxtel on their cricket, on their football, now you're trying to get in on the US dollars as well.
If funny you say that. You know the Eddie's new show that he's running into the US broadcast on, what is it?
Sirius XM.
Sirius. It's 36 million listeners. They actually took the broadcast of the Melbourne-Carlton game on Fox Footy last week to put it out to the 36 million people listening.
It's all about you once again, isn't it?
I didn't make the
decision. We're on to you, Howard.
I didn't make the
You've been getting angry too. You've been getting angry since you've had this new narcissistic phone.
No, like the Sydney, this is just, I don't even know what we're
Sydney
talking
lift,
about.
You got really angry in the lift in Sydney, the Korean restaurant, you stormed
just
out.
Just walked out.
Are you microdosing? Because you are small. Are you microdosing steroids to get yourself bigger?
It wouldn't be the worst idea to be honest if you're not.
And that explains a lot. You can let me know if you are. And the other thing I've heard is that he's been keen for you to get that nose fixed because it's got that bend in it, but you think you look like Owen Wilson with it. So I don't know.
They're all good points you make, Brown. And I've got a long history around. I go further back. And I remember we were sitting down there and there were other members of the team said, we've just got to get rid of this 46-kilo dead weight that's down there who offers none. I said, no, just hang around. I used to take him some food down when he was down there and he was cold and set up a little bit of practice time. And what we've created is a monster here, Jaddy.
Absolutely.
I've worked with some people with big, healthy egos. And none surpass you. Now, just remember where you came from, Howie. This is a tape that we set up to try and help you when you first started, got you off the boundary line, dragged you up here. This is you trying find your way in the game.
I'm not playing this. I'm not having it. I'm not having it.
He's got a storm
I'm
out.
Not having it.
He dragged two
it's
men
not
in.
Fair.
He said, I'm better than the boundary.
Your jokes are funny now. This is not
I'm
fair.
I'm better than the boundary. This is how he's trying
down,
to find his way. And we supported you. Have a listen to this.
38,066 are in Etihad Stadium and apparently 1.2 million tuning into the first edition of A Pleasant Sunday Afternoon with Howie and the Two Man. Not the best tap, 26. Douglas swings it on the right-hand boot inside, 50. Knights will be looking for the left foot. Sloan throws it on the right-hand boot, goes to the right forward, the right back pocket for the Collingwood Football Club. Maxwell looks like he's got the job up forward, almost playing a defensive-style role on Graham Johncock at this stage, but if he can hurt them on the goals,
area, which he couldn't quite do a couple of minutes ago. That'd be a real win for Collingwood. All right. Long to the Collingwood attacking zone. Tarrant flies like it's 1998. Oh, Cracker's going one way. He snaps over the shoulder. Oh, oh, I'll tell you what's going to happen. Cracker's got his second for the quarter. Oh, he said his quarter was from heaven. Collingwood 1-4-10, trail Adelaide 3 straight 18 by 8 points. Let's go down to the dock on the boundary.
Yeah, thanks, Howie. That was actually Ben Rutten. He's up and about, and he's just in the hands of a couple of trainers at the moment. So, he's right for Adelaide. Back to you, boys.
They trail by 29 points halfway through the first half, the second quarter, that would be. Didak through his leg, not mug style. Can't complete the mark, but he picks deep. Picks Beams' pocket now. Go forwards, that's what he does. Walker needs to do something. In deep, Tippett needs to do something, not Walker. He's probably in the crowd having another beer, Tyler Walker.
Tyler Walker.
That just sounds like a regular call from Howard.
In fact, he'd now call that at Macca's moment if he was had his time again. It's just a little help. It's a healthy reminder to remember where you came from, where it all started. We aim to try and support here.
So that was me and Chew on my first ever practice call, and the only way you could have got hold of that is if the bloody Chew man volunteered the CD.
Welcome to the first edition of the Howie and Chew extravaganza. I think you're calling yourself. Seriously, mate. Do you feel in yourself that you've got ahead of yourself or not?
I don't. I know. All I know is that talent eventually gets you there, don't it?
Did you and Chew record that out of your cubby house? Where did you...
That was
Lee Simon's idea, that was. It wasn't my finest moment. I can't believe you both played that. That's flattened me.
Also, Howard, last year you drove us to the football a few times on a Friday night when you picked us up at a neutral venue in a very old car. And I liked it.
You used to take pride in that, didn't you?
Yeah, you did. It was a 1995, 6-ish.
Yes, very old car. Yeah. Beautiful car.
What are you rolling with today?
Just a ute. Just a very, very simple ute.
What sort?
It's just a ute.
Can I put it to you, it's a top of the range ute?
No. Is it a brand new one?
Can I put it to you, it's a Ranger?
If brand new means we picked it up today, Nathan.
With metallic paint.
You know I don't operate on Instagram. You didn't put it on.
Thanks to the boys at Rex Gorrell down in Geelong as well.
Is it a freebie?
If you want to buy a car, head down to Rex Gorrell and they'll sort you out.
Don't tell me you're rocking around in a sponsor's car.
I paid for the car. I think we need to take a break. Oh, not full whack, but I pay for the car. Damo, a bit floating around in the news space.
Yeah, and it involves GWS, who has now been forced to take Josh Kelly out of the 22 to play the Bulldogs tonight. We know last night that when the teams were released that already Toby Green was out of that mix. So their two of their prime midfield options are now out, and Jackson Hatley will be the replacement for Josh Kelly tonight. The Bulldogs, I believe, as named. And it's foray into a big selection news and injury news to key players. Dyson Heppel, who, as we know, last year played with a badly broken foot, had it operated on the off season, got back to football on the resumption of it last week in round two, but today has actually broken his ankle or fractured his ankle in a tackling drill at training, and now, as we speak, is an unknown quantity when it comes to playing again in 2020. It's actually a sad personal story on an injury front for him, given what he's been through in the past 12 months with that foot. He got the Bombers into the finals last year when he played through that pain and that injury, had it operated on the off-season. This is a separate incident, separate issue, Brownie, but it's not ideal, is it, for a club that started the season really well on the back of him, at least in one of those two games that they've won. It just saps a lot of momentum out of what they're about.
It does, and they don't bat that deep in the midfield at the moment. Obviously, they've got a couple of players, McGrath coming through, who's going to be a really good player, and Parrish was really good last week, but hopefully he gets back pretty quick because he's a very important player in that side.
Jack Stephen will come into the Cats team to play on the weekend as a result of Brandon Parfitt being a late withdrawal from the team announced last night, Juddy. So it's a change in plans. Chris Scott all week was saying that he would play in a scratch match on the weekend, effectively his first competitive hit out of a proper nature since the off-season or the shutdown, the COVID-19 shutdown period when he had the stabbing incident. But it's a good story for him to come back in so quickly.
He plays pretty well fresh, doesn't he? I remember seeing him come back for the Saints after a really big layoff, and and kick goals up forward. So I'm sure he'll spend a bit of time on the bench and probably go forward in patches. But, yeah, I think he's a good enough player that he's probably one you can run with a little bit of risk on, even if he hasn't had a huge amount of work in.
And Ollie Wines is back for Port Adelaide, having missed last week with a COVID-19 regulations breach. They're playing Fremantle. Jesse Hogan has been named. Howie, it too is a really good story. But I wish I could attribute as to which media outlet is reporting that he's got an issue with a weight that might have been dropped onto his upper body.
And who's that? Jesse Hogan?
Jesse Hogan, yeah. I just saw that in the ad break. And I would like to attribute who it was that was posted it, but I can't remember. But he's been named, but there might be some little rider on him needing to be okay after that incident in the gym. Nathan Jones.
That happens to you with just the 20 kilo bar, doesn't it, Howe?
Nathan Jones has been axed. Brownie, obviously the Demons last week getting over the line against Carlton narrowly. Yeah, dropped. Oh. Well, there's some talk it might be a management thing, but given he's only the one game back, there is a fair assessment that it has been an omission from that team. Cozzy Pickett comes in. He missed last week, as Ollie Wines did for Port Adelaide, with a breach of COVID-19 regulations.
That bar is heavy, you know.
It is very heavy, yes, it certainly is. The former captain, really good player, played some really good footy last year, and they will miss him, but what do you think, Judge?
Big call, isn't it? I wonder if they're going to do that a little bit more with no VFL this year. I wonder if some teams are going to try and rotate more players through senior footy, because if you're not getting those VFL guys with proper games in, they're going to be left playing scratch matches or intra-clubs, and they're going to really struggle for match fitness. So, big call. Hopefully, he's back in the team soon.
Funny you say that. As we arrived at the ground, North were playing the Bulldogs in ostensibly a practice match, but I think there's only 15 players on each side. So, the wings were out of play. So, the coaching staff were standing 30 metres inside the boundary. So, it's massive adjustments for
players. You're not going to get the same intensity of a proper match that you
are. Ripping fella too, Nate Jones, and was a surprise appearance at Judd Cello. I wasn't expecting to see Nate Jones there. And I've never spent a lot of time with Nate Jones, but one of the cracking individuals I've ever met. He was great that night.
He's a good man. Our daughters are best friends, Billy and Nate's daughter Bobby. So,
do you bring some of your
I was going to say,
small talk to the table, yeah. Nate?
Me and Nate had a very good chat.
We
chatted about
areas. Did you cover?
Horse racing. We chatted a bit about horse racing. Then Mark Murphy came in and was talking about the first four he won on Melbourne Cup Day that he was trying to hide from his wife. Didn't do it that successfully.
Have an awkward conversation that night, though.
Oh, I had an awkward conversation with Stevie Green. Greeny asked me why I always brought him up on this program.
Because you do.
I love talking about you, Greeny. He didn't see it as funny as what I did.
No. Yeah. I might have sided with Greeny on that one.
Just drop a few names there, Nate, too, doesn't he? Yeah. Me at the Judd Cello with Murph and
all right. Well,
Nate Jones hit it off like a house on fire, apparently.
You didn't get the dress code quite right, Duke. it wasn't street thug 1985 where you go around breaking thumbs.
I was a standout on that night.
People were scared of you.
Time for...
In the world of AFL, there is one modern-day player that rises above all else.
I'd be happy to put my name up as the chairman.
Whose opinions and judgments we respect.
I'm not angry, I'm just disappointed.
The situations are real. The verdicts are final. This is Judge Juddy.
Been looking forward to this all week.
So am I. Before we move into Judge Juddy, we're not ruling out Judd Cello for 2020 just yet, are we, or not?
Well, I've spoken to Andrews. He's not keen on it going ahead at this stage, but it's important for
Dan,
the economy.
The Premier.
You just dropped an Andrews on the Premier, did you?
Beijing Dan.
That's funny.
I spoke to him.
It was well received by the wider community, Judge Hill. I think they'd appreciate it.
I think so. We're going to get back to this now, Duke?
Yeah. All right, off you go.
How well received was it? Let's be honest.
Was
Judge Cello. We loved it. Like, what about the rest of the
couldn't
have
a better time.
Everyone loved it. It was a big success, no? You and Jonesy and the boys had a good catch-up and did your thing. Howard didn't make it, but that was not altogether unexpected.
That was working.
Anyway, Howard, it has been a big week
this
week. A few things have come across my desk. Okay. The first was this today. Big story.
I'm here today to advise you that based on advice provided to me by our cyber experts, Australian organisations are currently being targeted by a sophisticated state-based cyber actor.
Cyber attacks, Howard, today, and I met with the Judd Corp team, and we put all our, we went up to the roof, the office block, big office block now, the team's expanded, We've got every laptop the team has, every iPad, every phone. We put them in a big vat and we burnt the crap out of them, Howard, because I don't want any of these punks going through our history, our business. They've burnt. They've gone to high heaven.
We also got a history you're worried about.
Also did some digging around on who could be behind these attacks, and I think it could be Tasmania, to be honest. I think they've always had us in their gun, and that's who I'm thinking it could be at this stage. So that was the first one.
Why Tasmania?
Like, it's classified information, Purple, at this stage. But
he's been censored.
My digging around at this stage is pointing to Tasmania.
Right.
It's an overseas actor.
Well, they are overseas, Duke. So, big story. This is an even bigger story.
Okay.
Again, in the political landscape.
Yeah, of course.
Now, I look around the room. You know, Duke, he sort of does his breathing and expects everyone to clap that he sits around and breathes for 20 minutes a day. He won't stop talking about it. Damo spends his day just trying to get people sacked. Yeah. Nate, we know he doesn't do much except for looking at horses. And Howard does sort of his guru things. I'm the only one that joins dots, joins the big picture together. And I think we'd all say that Mark Ricciuto carries a lot of power over in Adelaide. Wouldn't we
know? I certainly do.
Yep.
And we know they've had trouble retaining their players. We've spoken about, you know, Cameron Betts, Lever, Dangerfield, McGovern, all left that football club.
Yes.
And seemingly an unrelated issue, South Australia have closed their borders. I put it to you, Ricciuto and the Adelaide Crows have closed the South Australian borders as their last effort to stop players leaving that football club, and that's what their player retention has come to. And someone had to uncover this story, and I think this is bigger than 60 Minutes expose on the Labor Party in Victoria. This goes deep, Duke.
What do you think?
That was good.
I hope for Damo's sake those borders do stay closed, Juddy.
I knew you could do it clean, Judge. I knew you could still do it clean and well.
And the three votes go to Australia scientists for this breaking news this week.
Can the coronavirus be spread through farts? The answer is critical. The answer is critical, darling, because it could lead to a breakthrough in blaming coronavirus on the dog. Turns out farts are dangerous for the same reason coughing and sneezing are, because flatulence itself is an aerosol-generating procedure. Hence the old rhyme, beans, beans, the magical fruit. The more you eat, the more you perform an aerosol-generating procedure. Here's what the good doctor had to say about corona farts.
I think that what we should do in terms of social distancing and being safe is that a policy on the part of the entire Australian population should be that you don't fart close to other people and that you don't fart with your bottom bare.
I'm hoping that's pretty much always the advice.
Where'd you get that, Judge?
We talk about
the
nameless, faceless people of the Labor Party. Who are the nameless, faceless members of our society cupcaking people with their bare bum, Howard? It's a big issue, and I'm glad our scientists are at the forefront of it.
And it's been a long-standing rule in the Triple Entry box.
Yes.
You get officially exited if you go down that path. I think it was called the BT rule early days.
I'll tell you what's driven me mad. I went for a run the other day.
Oh, go on.
And there was an older woman walking around, and she poked her arm out almost like she was going to clothesline me as I was running past. I thought, that's
1.5 metres.
One of the strangest things I've ever seen. I was talking to someone about it. That's a thing now. That's guarding your 1.5 metre space.
Really?
Mm. Putting the bumper bar up. Putting an arm out.
So, Judge, don't come in my space.
Yeah.
It is.
They're giving her a cupcake.
Really looking forward to tonight's match. It's the Western Bulldogs taking on the GWS Giants. It's taken on a bit of grudge match over the last couple of years, and the coach of the GWS Giants, always very happy to speak to this man, Leon Cameron, is on the line. Good evening, Leon.
G'day, Howie. How are you?
Great to speak to you. Footy, as you well know growing up, is all about rivalries, and as a younger club, it's nice to develop them, and this is a nice one you have going on with the Bulldogs.
Yeah, it is. It is. It's funny how it sort of panned out that way. I mean, I suppose you look back at a lot of rivalries in the past 100 years, and there'd be a story to tell on all of them. You know, whether they've been at the top of the ladders and fighting for premierships in the 50s, 60s, or 70s, Geelong Hawthorn, we see. I mean, ours is built in a short time with the Dogs, clearly because of you know, there's been some. Players that have shifted club staff that used to be at the Bulldogs. We all know the story. And then clearly there's been some really good footy in some close matches. So, yeah, I expect no different tonight.
Well, it looked like the Dogs got exposed a little bit with fast ball movement through the corridor last week. Is that something you guys will try and focus in on tonight?
Yeah, look, we didn't move the ball really well at all last week, and clearly the Kangaroos defended as well. We needed a bit more energy on the ball and take a few more risks through the corridor. You know, it's such a short break, you don't really get much chance to practice it on the training field as such. It's all about trying to recover. So no doubt, you know, you look at what the Saints did and they were terrific. Their pinpoint passing was spot on, and sometimes if you think you're just going to do that against the team every week, it doesn't happen because defence is really, really good. So when we get the moments, we've got to take them, clearly, because it gives you an opportunity to score. So we need to be playing a bit more quicker from our half-back line than what we did last week.
Leo, you've got three tall forwards who kicked 170 goals between them last year, and then round one, Harry Perryman starts forward, kicks four, kicked another two last week. Was that by design, or was that more by a bit of luck that he started to kick goals in round one, thought he'd play in there round two?
No, pure luck. He runs forward a bit because he's predominantly playing a fair bit of wing. He does switch every now and again, but probably the round one game was one out of the box, and he was at the right spot at the right time, and then... But he's got a really great ability to mark the ball and kick straight. Clearly, he's a great kick, and he very rarely misses. So, not designed, probably through more good fortune, but if I can have a player like that kick goals every week, I think that's going to be a good thing.
Leon, you took Toby Green out of the team last night with a knee injury. Do you know how long you'll be without him?
Look, Stamo, we think it's probably only going to be a week. We sort of put him through a series of tests yesterday. His knees, just right at the back of the knees, just been playing up, played up a little bit in the game. But we couldn't take that risk on a short break. I'd be disappointed if he didn't play next Friday night, but in saying that, I can think if he needs 2 weeks, he needs 2 weeks. But it is disappointing because, you know, he's a big part of our team and he plays really well against the Bulldogs and he'll be sorely missed.
And the 22 you named last night, will they all run out at the first bounce tonight?
No, we've got a late change, which is disappointing. Josh Kelly's not going to play either. He's just pulled up a little bit tight late last night. And again, travel down, five-day break. We've chosen not to risk him. We think he'll be right next week, but he probably sits in that Toby category. He's just a bit tight in the calf, though. So in comes young Jackson Hatley. He gets his first game for the year, and he'll take up that wing spot, and we look forward to seeing him in action.
And you've also got, which you named last night, Lachie Ash in for his first game of footy, the number four draft pick from last year.
Yeah, it's great. He's been a bit stiff to not get in earlier, but he's had a wonderful pre-season, and clearly the suspended season... He hurt him because he was on the verge of probably playing. He's in really good form. We look forward to seeing him in full flight tonight. Again, he's young and, you know, no doubt there'll be some nerves and some mistakes, but one thing you'll see is his efforts just first class all the time. He just runs hard. He's got a huge motor, really good speed, and we expect him to, you know, pump some balls from our half-back line going forward this tonight because he's, as I said, he's in good form and he's a really good running back.
Now, Leon, sound very professional these days, super serious. We know we're not far away from the first bounce and your focus is, as always, on getting your side over to win. But if you had your time again, would you rewrite the wedding speech you gave at my wedding? Because it was borderline disgraceful and I've had a bit of time to think about it now. It wasn't your greatest effort.
Duh. Boys just told me you just arrived. You're unorganised up there and they're carrying you at the moment.
So, I had a couple of dramas. Actually, fair to say, if your speech wasn't great, Nate Brown's performance was horrific as well. So
poor old Nana Darcy was never the same.
There was a few issues.
One day when I'm not in this position, we'll go into it in a bit further detail.
Fair enough.
Leon, we appreciate your time. Best of luck to you and the Giants tonight.
Thanks, guys. Cheers.
Thanks, Leon.
This year, Darce, we're going to try and get more of the old legends on. We had luck with Diesel Williams last year. It was fantastic. And we just thought in our production meeting that we needed more of the greats of the game on.
And we wanted to go right to the very, very, very top.
Royalty.
It's a big big night tonight for the Western Bulldogs.
It is. And we welcome a man that played 329 games for that club, Charlie Sutton medalist, leading goal kicker in a season, and also the captain for several years at the footy club, Mr. Footscray himself, Doug Hawkins, joins us on the Friday Huddle. Doug, good evening. How are you?
How are you, boys? The leading goal kicker, the Jack Collins medal. Ever so many goals I kicked?
107?
28. It was a big year that year for the Bulldogs.
Hey, Hawk, always great to hear your laugh. It makes me smile, mate, to chat to you at any stage. And I haven't actually asked you this question. 2016 grand final, it feels like a lifetime ago already. But tell me where you were on that day and what that meant to you.
Darcy, it was just amazing. It really was. You know, it come out of the blue, wasn't it? I mean, in the day, it'd be fair to say I class it as a bit of a miracle. You know, the way those boys played for that 4 weeks was just outstanding. To go and beat, you know, the Eagles over there, come back, beat the Hawks, got to go over there and beat the Giants, which they did brilliantly, and then to reload to win a grand final. Darcy, coaching Luke Beveridge was just brilliant. I think now, if I look at the list now, look at the team, we've probably only got about 7 or 8 players in the side tonight. Darcy, that'd be fair to say, from that side?
Yep, right on the money. It's
about 7 or 8, yeah. Can you believe that in 4 years, Darcy, that list is, when you say deteriorated, it's absolutely fell apart because 6 or 7, that's amazing over the 4 year gap. But no, what they did, Darcy, was fantastic. And just to go back and touch on that, for the supporters, the club in general, mate, it was just absolute sensational. I was at the ground with my wife, Raylene, rubber there in the AFL Life members area. And to just get to that stage where the final song was about to go was just it was just a dream come true for the Western Bulldogs, Darce.
That's great.
And Dougie, take us back to your career. The closest you got was 1985. You made the preliminary final. 10 points to Hawthorne. Brad Hardy wins a Brownlow medal that year. And you were almost in the grand final to play the Bombers the following week, who then smashed the Hawks.
Yeah, no, we go back now. You know what? That's 35 years ago. That's amazing. 35 years, 85. Is that right? 35?
Your
85, 35. Do your mathematics, Darcy. You there?
Yep. So that works.
You're on the money, Hawk.
Yeah, 35 years ago. That's amazing. It really is. And it's a bit like tonight in some small way for the Bulldogs and GWS. We got belted by Hawthorne in that qualifying final. They beat us by 93 points. And then the next week we had to play North Melbourne in the semi. Simon Boothley kicked 100. We got the job done. And we had to reload again and take on Hawthorne after they absolutely smashed us, like a bit like GWS, a bit, you know, in last year's elimination final, and they beat us by what, nearly 60 points, I think it was. So they're going to reload too now. You know, the Bulldogs have to come back from that. And we come back. It was great coaching by Mick Mouldhouse. He coached brilliantly. He reminded us how bad and how insipid we were in that qualifying final. And to turn around 93 points to only just 10 points was a great effort by the whole playing group. Brenda, led by our captain in Jimmy Edmund, was a great leader. And to do that in that turnaround was just... and again, Brad Hardy, Brownlow medalist, just a fantastic player. We had a very, very good even side back in 85.
Doug, you mentioned Mick Mouldhouse there. He used to talk about you in glowing terms and say that he could never remember seeing you lose a contest out on the wing. Today's players play a very different style of game, and often the wingers barely have many contests throughout a game at all. Do you watch today's game and think you'd like to play today in a more free-flowing game, or did you enjoy the smaller grounds and the more contested type of footy that was around when you were playing?
Well, the wingers have come back, haven't they? The wingers have sort of come back into it now, and yeah, I'd love to play now. You imagine playing at Marvel Stadium, which we've got tonight for the game, you know, under the roof, you're on carpet. Again, it's starting to come a little bit more towards player on player. You'd love to be playing on the wing now, wouldn't you? Fair Nickham. And just talking about that, like tonight, I won't go in too much about matchups and stuff like that tonight. A great opportunity for JJ. Joe Johansson's going to get tagged if he plays off halfback. Now, if I was Luke Darcy, just chuck him on Whitfield. Whitfield's one of the best players, both-sided players for the GWS. Let him just go and have a run with him. Take away the tag and go run with Whitfield. I know I'm jumping around a little bit, boys, but now talking about one-on-one footy, that's what I'd be doing anyway.
Speaking of Doug Hawkins, Footscray legend on the Friday huddle, and here's another Footscray legend, Nathan Brown.
A lot of talk about the footies at the moment, Doug. Ed wants to change the shape of the footy, but it didn't matter out of the Western Oval when it was muddy, whether it was a Burley, it was a Ross Faulkner or a Sharon. You seem to make that ball sing.
Brownie, fair dinkum. Good to hear from you, Brownie. You left the Bulldogs for $800,000 a year when you were you took the money you and Plough Wallace took off, Brownie.
We've got to vote Mark in the Caribbean too, man.
I've got to venture off field because you had a pretty good time of it on the field and you had an unbelievable time of it off the field as well, Hawk. Now, there's one story that you need to share with us because Hawk's great mate was Robert Gronewagen.
Don't do that, Darf.
Come on, you got to share it. Were you on that famous flight?
So, just before that, sorry, Brown, it was 900, not 800. Sorry, mate. Sorry, Brownie. Darf, it was 85. We're flying over to flying over to America. Somewhere in between Fiji and Hawaii. I'd had a few quiet ones on that flight going over, and we had this air turbulence, and it was really bouncing. It was all over the joint. And next minute, we heard the announcement, "This is your captain speaking, Captain Robert Gronewagen here." And this has gone from first class to cattle class, right through the whole plane. He said, "You can experience some very severe air turbulence." He said, "Enjoy a meal. Put your seatbelt on. It's going to be your last. We're about to go into the ocean." This went right across the whole plane. Oh. Mickey Myers was sitting there. He's gone white. Jimmy Edmund wasn't happy, the captain. But gee whiz, I mean, imagine doing it now. You get shot by an air marshal or you do 25 years in the slammer, wouldn't you?
Hey, Doug, when it comes to just your viewing of football these days, either at the ground or on the TV, who's your favourite player to watch from the Bulldogs? Who's your favourite non-Bulldogs player?
Geez, it's a good one, boys. It's hard to go past the Bont, the captain now. And a lot of pressure's gone on to him, you know, getting that captaincy, boys. I'll be totally honest here, and I really say this, and I really mean this, that when Bob Murphy retired, I think it was 2016, I would have really made Bond captain then. And he's only 21, 22. I think he may have won the best and fairest in that premiership year, if I can remember now.
Yep.
I may have really gave him that role as being captain. So I love watching the Bont. When he's in full flight, he's just a magnificent player. And tonight, that the boar is, he'll be all over him like a cheap suit. Make no mistake about that. And it's a great opportunity now for the Bont to step up. Now, to really step up and be that leader that we all know he can be. But, boys, you know what it's like, Darce. You captain the Bulldogs there at some stage, I think, Darce, as well. Mate, the pressure comes on you. And I remember in 1990 when I got the role as captain for the first time, I started worrying about my teammates more than worrying about my own game. So it's just got to get, you know, I know it's only been two games, but just worry about your own game, let the team unfold and worry about your own footy. So for me, I love watching the Bont play. He's a fantastic player. I'm a bit of an old, I love Gary Ablett Jr. I mean, he's just a fantastic player to watch. He's a class above the rest, I believe. So Gary Ablett for me and the Bont.
Dougie, just as we let you go, I'm not sure if you're across the news that Channel 9 and Sam Newman have announced after 30-odd years of the network, Sam's parting ways. Mate, you were part of the footy show in its heyday when it started up alongside Sam. What are your memories of those times working alongside Sam and Eddie when the show was bigger than Ben-Hur? Pretty much because you were on it.
Well, when it first started in 1994, we actually had no idea what we're doing. It was just sort of, we sort of made up as we went along. When that red light went on the camera, Sam continued to ask me all the questions, and he wanted me to say Mamua, and I couldn't say Mamua one night in the footy show. The footy show was a lot of fun, and we had a laugh. We got away with a hell of a lot of things that these days you can't do. But Sam Newman, he was the footy show. He had been the footy show for such a long, long time. I'm not sure what the comments were made, boys, regarding this is the fellow who got murdered over in America, was it, or something? Or
yeah,
is that what happened?
Yeah, absolutely.
George Floyd or something. Well, anyway, Sam's got an opinion. And he wouldn't shoot off if he doesn't have some backing of whatever you may have his opinion about. I'm a fan of Sam Newman. He's a fantastic bloke. He's a genuine bloke. And he's been the footy show. Sam Newman's a footy show. Simple as that.
Dougie, a treat to chat with you. Hopefully your Bulldogs get across the line tonight. Thanks for joining us on the Friday Huddle.
Thanks, boys. Good on you, Darcy. See you guys, Brownie. Good on you, boys.
It was good to hear from you, Chris. Because
I'm worried about it.
A very quiet night. Even in the ad breaks, you just sort
not
of
talking.
What's going on?
He's got a lot on my mind.
He normally turns around and tells me a story. Yeah. Nothing.
What type of stuff's on
your
mind?
Are you unwell?
Is it?
No, health concerns at this stage.
Anything about Elon Musk?
No.
Is he still going out there? Amber Heard, he's going okay.
Proved me wrong. They're going fairly well, the Tesla shares. Apologies to any of the listeners that shorted Tesla. And I,
gold hanging in there?
Gold's been good. 1730, silver strong.
So what is it, mate?
The other thing that I will tell you, he's come over to the dark side because he's been asking me a lot of questions about cryptocurrency over here.
That's
where
not a good
I
sign.
Store it.
Hang on. If one of Australia's finest investors has gone down the dark side.
Let me tell you, it is bloody hard to buy crypto. I'm not sure if you've done it. It's almost Darwinian, the fact that I wasn't able to buy it this week.
You've been big on it, Nath, right from the start. How's your crypto?
Well, I have to be. I was in very early, and then it crashed not long after that. So I'm what's called a holder, Howie. I am just in it for the long term.
You also thought you had access to a whole lot more of it than you actually did have access to, though, didn't you? You were sort of promised something.
Yeah, but never... it didn't work out, Damo. No. Didn't work out.
Haven't dealt with that yet? You haven't verified that?
No, but it's bouncing back. I'll tell you what, that's why our bald man friend over here is starting... That excites me, that he's starting to... work in my spaces. I've been talking about this for a long time, Duke, and I know you dabbled in it for a little bit and you couldn't quite get your stupid-looking head around it. But it is here. Didn't. It's here to stay. And the world is in a strange place at the moment with COVID-19.
A strange place when Juddy's asking you for
correct.
That is a real,
we may
is a real
be
concern.
Contactless society, it might be all about Bitcoin and Ethereum going forward. We might not even have notes.
What was Damo referring to? I didn't understand that reference about you and a certain deal.
Yeah, what was
I got no idea what he's talking about.
Yes,
up the back
did.
There.
Come on, Damo, what happened?
No, Damo.
not for public.
No, not really.
Okay,
Damo,
we'll talk about it later.
The big picture of it was he felt he had access to more than what he did have access to, and there's a backstory to it. But I'll let him.
Come on,
mate.
Just give us a brief.
I'm more concerned about how man the judge. Look at him. He's sucking his thumb in the corner at the moment.
He's asking Nathan for investment advice. One of the cleverest blokes ever to play football, and he's asking Brownie.
How do you get into some cryptocurrency?
Everything all right, Chris?
They're good. They're still good. They were good a few minutes ago, and they're still good, Duke. I just don't like to waste my words. You guys always gabba. Yeah? I keep it tight.
Damo, what else is happening in the world of AFL? Who else are you blowing up with?
We might look at last night's game. Richmond obviously now hasn't won since the first game of the season. Drew with Collingwood last week, lost to Hawthorn. Look, my take on it, but I'd rather get the views of the three men who played the game at the highest level for a long time rather than me talk about it. They just seem a bit off, guys, don't they? I mean, Dusty missed last night. They've covered for him in the past, Brownie, but...
I think we jump at shadows in this game, Damo, because last week it was all about Alistair Clarkson. He's loaded up on old players. They haven't worked out. All of a sudden, people are questioning Ricky Henderson. Ricky Henderson was very good again last night. Alistair Clarkson pulls off a masterclass, and everyone's talking about how good Hawthorn are again. Richmond were in the same position last year. They're in the same position the year before that. Alex Rance goes down. They still win the premiership. So I think that everybody needs to hold fire. It's a different set of circumstances that everybody's dealing with, each individual club. And I just think class rises to the top at the end. And I think Richmond will be there when the whips are cracking at the end of the season. And I don't think we've got anything to worry about.
Yeah. And Jody, equally with Hawthorn, had the good win against Brisbane in round one and then the shocker on resumption against Geelong. But was that venue-driven as much as anything when it came to the way that game got away from them and then stayed away from them?
Oh, I don't think it's ever really one thing. I do think they looked a lot better with Jager O'Meara back in that side.
Yeah,
they looked really strong around the footy. I thought Richmond's desire, particularly to tackle and pressure, which is what their game's been built around for so long, just looked a smidgen off. And Hawthorn obviously had a point to prove after Geelong. So, yeah, I don't think you can draw the line through either of those sides. I think Richmond, you'd expect to be challenging probably top four. And I think Hawthorn, even with what many are saying is an ageing list, are still very much in top eight contention.
Hey, Damo, there's a bit of a rumour sweeping around Marvel Stadium at the moment. I know you've got some more footy to get to, that there's some sort of gamesmanship going on and it's emanating out of the Giants rooms at the moment. Mm. And you know these two clubs have got fairly fierce rivalry going on, Howie, and not a lot of love lost between both clubs.
What is it, Duke?
What do you mean?
What
are
you
referring to,
Duke?
I'm not saying I can tell you because I don't know, but it's just if the word around, there's some of the heavyweights down at ground level are saying, just stay tuned.
This isn't a visual thing. People are listening to us. They need some...
Is this a radio hook? Is that what he's trying to do to the listener?
It's a long hook.
Yeah. All I'm saying, you idiots, is that there will be something... That now I've been told to move on by our big...
All right, okay, we'll keep an eye for that. Hey, Juddy, before we go to a break,
sure.
The Blues obviously have played some fantastic quarters of footy, slow out of the blocks. Your man Mark Pittenette was getting dominated by Max Gawn, who was just delivering it to the likes of Petracca and Oliver. The last three quarters that man played after being under the pump as much as any player I've seen in the last 5 years, well done to that man.
I thought he was great.
He was.
I thought he was aggressive. His follow-up work after the tap is really good, so... He can hold his head up high on the weekend, and the start, like you mentioned, was very disappointing. Some better footy after that, but just need to be better off finishing games and taking the opportunities, because that's all you get in this game.
It's a funny one, footy, isn't it? When Carlton lose the first two quarters like they have, Richmond have started slowly. People are going, you know, it's their start, obviously. How do you change that? People, even when you go back to your own playing days and you're starting slow, you can't really put your finger on anything that it is in particular, can you?
It's just individuals, isn't it? At the end of the day, individuals make the commitment that they're going to start better, and they work out different strategies to get their arousal level where it needs to be. So hopefully we see a better effort this first quarter against the Cats.
Shut up! The footy's on Triple M!
Triple M rocks footy.